Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, January 7th, and this is The Drop.
Woo, getting artsy with the shots.
I am Mr. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Mr. Mellis.
Good day, Mr. Skeets.
Good day, Mr. Mellis. We've got our Top Shot hot boy, Mr. Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Mr. Ellis.
Mrs.
Finally, making the magic happen, super producer, Mr. Doyle.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to everybody joining us live right now on YouTube. Hello, stream team. Take a second. Hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribed to No Dunks on YouTube. Comment away and share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab yourself some sweet No Dunks gear over at nodunks.com and get that athletic subscription you've always wanted. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks.
Speaking of gear, new sweater? It's a beautiful blue that you're wearing today.
Well, what about you, good sir?
Mine's a little bit old, but I haven't been wearing it much.
That's so nice.
That looks brand spanking.
It's popping in here, isn't it?
It is. It's a nice blue.
Well, it's very cold in the A today, so we're trying to warm it up here in the Classic Factory.
Four sweaters. Four men.
Right. Well, is that a sweater?
Okay, no, I mean,
it's a shirt.
Nice flannel
it's
shirt.
Yeah, it's a chamois. It's a chamois shirt.
We have a very exciting drop podcast here today. We're going to discuss last night's insane Celtics-Knicks game. Yeah, bing bong.
Holy
crap. Trey, you got a brand new batch of five-star Friday reviews.
They're actually good this time.
Oh, really?
Okay. I'll be honest with you. December's, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel, but people came through for the first week of January.
Oh, very exciting. Mm-hmm. And hopefully there's some positive comments about the Classic Factory itself.
See, I don't know. There's no comments about the Classic Factory, period.
Oh.
But we also just started coming to the Classic Factory.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering how long it takes from the entering of the comment to Tim Cook approving it to it showing up in Apple Podcasts.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit delayed. I don't know exactly what the delay is, but there is some sort of gap here.
Okay, all right. Well, five-star reviews coming up later. Tweet of the night, of course. Rapid fire fun. Tass wrote this week's questions. And they were difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Toughies.
I find you write the most difficult questions.
Come
I have to go deep in my brain to try and find the answers. I do,
I give you this whole room, this whole breadth, the spectrum that you can go on. I mean, you can pick from a very minuscule part of your life, a very important part of your life.
I don't know. I found a couple of these tough. You agree?
I did, yes.
Okay.
But we got there in the end. So.
I'm not saying they're bad questions.
No, I know they're
really
not bad.
Think.
No, I like it when you have to think about them and really dig deep.
Okay.
So.
But before all of that, guys, yesterday, the league announced its first round of returns for the NBA All-Star fan vote. Now, the usual suspects or the vote leaders, they're there. They've already surpassed 2 million votes. I'm talking about LeBron and Steph and Durant and the Greek Freak. And just to remind everybody, and we're showing to the people here on the stream team the whole breakdown of the first fan returns, you know, the top 10 in both conferences, both for the front court and the back courts. The All-Star starters, two guards, three front court players in each conference, selected by a combination, okay, I just like to point this out, of the fans who right now will always count for 50% of the vote, and then the media get 25%, and the players get 25%. That's the starters. The head coaches then, their assistant coaches and the people that watch film, they're given the ballot to then fill it out for the reserves. But I just want to get your take on these numbers here we're seeing and the names and the orders. Is there any surprises that jump out to you, Tass, from these first returns here?
Well, I'll leave DeMar DeRozan for Trey because that's a beauty right there. I mean, when you're looking at the 21-22 season, and you start to write the story about it, you've got Kevin Durant and Steph Curry leading their respective conferences, the former teammates. They'll be picking the teams at All-Star Weekend. Will they be 1-2 in terms of MVP voting? Will they meet in the finals? So it's kind of, I'm looking forward just to seeing how this all shakes down throughout the season. There's the DeMar DeRozan thing. The Andrew Wiggins at number four among Western Conference.
That's a surprise.
Hi-yo, he's higher than Draymond Green.
Yeah,
that is shocking.
Draymond
Green would be getting the respect, and when you look at that, as you said, 50% of the fan vote, that could definitely help him when we get to the media vote, as well as the players' vote. Just being up there at fourth could actually push him over the line to be a Western Conference forward spot.
Mm.
You don't believe it?
I don't think so. I mean, this is why this is in. First off, he's not even in the mix yet, technically. Like, as a front court player selection, only top three of the starters.
No. But when they tabulate, yeah, you're right.
But do you think the media or the players are going to have Wiggins above Draymond Green or a lot of guys?
No.
No.
Nah.
No, but Paul George is likely to drop down from three at this point. He's at three right now. Yep. He's injured. Who the heck knows? But just to see him higher than Draymond Green getting that respect. And the interesting thing of the Western Conference guard spot, I'll just throw the last one, Klay Thompson at fourth, who hasn't played a single game. And then fifth, sixth are both Phoenix Suns backcourt players, yep. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and we see them, you know, cannibalizing each other a little bit because they both are up there. So I wonder how that all plays out. But Trey, you got to talk about DeMar.
Well, the question is surprises. I'm not surprised that DeMar DeRozan is leading East guards. He's been the best East guard, though people are saying he's not a guard. Have you watched DeMar DeRozan play basketball? The guy's a guard. He might be a 3/4 for the Bulls, but he handles the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. He's a guard. So, yeah, I was happy to see him, but not surprised. The biggest surprise to me is that if the All-Star game were today, if the draft were today, LeBron's not picking.
Yeah.
For the first time ever. He's been the one of the drafters every single time.
And the captains.
Along with, yeah, that's the word, drafters. Hang it from the drafters. But, yeah, he's four times, right?
Yep.
A couple times with Curry, a couple times with Giannis, but not right now. So I don't really remember how the first returns have been in the past. Maybe this is the sort of thing where the LeBron fans say, he's number two. Let's get our votes up. But if not, that'll be pretty weird. I imagine he would be the first pick if he's not one of the captains. But I was certainly surprised to see a couple of players ahead of him.
Yeah, honestly, when it comes to these returns, I don't actually get shocked by anything.
You don't care?
Because, no, I don't really care. Because Wiggins, to me, I'm not surprised because he's had a good season. He has way more highlight plays than Draymond Green does. Fans just love what they see from Wiggins, the dunks and the threes, and he's actually having a resurgence season.
Does he have a lot of highlights?
Well, more than Draymond Green.
He scores more points.
Fans don't appreciate Draymond Green's box out or his closeout defense or his, shutting down the opponent. They way more appreciate
Andrew
Wiggins.
Don't Warriors fans care about that, though? Warriors fans should know about Draymond Green.
Yeah, of course they do, but I'm saying collectively, Andrew Wiggins has sort of, really exploded onto the scene this year. The Warriors are playing well. They're in the playoffs. They're probably the best team in the league, and Wiggins is having a great season, so that stands out. The rest of it, I'm surprised, to be perfectly honest, DeRozan has the most votes amongst guards, even though he's in Chicago. It's a huge market, just because DeRozan usually doesn't have those. He's had some incredible standout highlights this season, but he's more like almost like the LaMarcus Aldridge of the past, where it's like this guy's a bucket without necessarily lighting up the highlight reels, but he's been doing that. So great for him. Great to see him getting that respect and admiration from the fans.
Well, a few years ago, he was an all-star, 4 out of 5 years. But then he had a run of 3 non-all-star years. So to see him go from 4 all-star appearances, 3 non-all-star years, and to see him number one with a bullet as the first guard, I mean, it's a great story. It's a bit surprising how he's way up there and way ahead of his teammate Zach LaVine, who again is putting some incredible numbers up. For fans to be looking at the Bulls and saying this guy has been their best player, while fans also say Klay Thompson, he's the fourth best guard in the West. I mean, that's surprising to me why you'd see Andrew Wiggins way above Draymond Green to sort of lump those together, because Klay Thompson hasn't played a friggin' second, and Draymond Green has obviously been an incredible player for this team forever. And so you'd think, okay, if guys or fans are just filling out the ballot and saying Warrior, 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 why not put Draymond Green way up? I mean, he's way behind.
Well, did you see Ghostface Ziller? Tom Ziller had a theory about why that was happening, and I'll try and explain it as quickly as possible. He thinks most people do this on their phone, right, when it comes to like picking their starters, and apparently it is ranked, or it's like put in order by points scored. So to find Draymond Green, you really got to go like scroll and scroll and scroll and searching, searching, searching. So if you are like, whoa, well, the Warriors are a good team, Curry, check. Oh, somebody else, well, I like Klay Thompson, maybe check. Who else? Wiggins is going to be just way higher in your like sort of search bar than a guy like Draymond Green. That's Ziller's theory, and I'm not saying I agree with it.
That's interesting. Yeah. It used to be alphabetical, if I do remember, and I understand Ziller probably has been disrespected by things being alphabetical throughout the years as a Z man. But yeah, usually Wiggins would be at the bottom because he's a dub.
Right.
If I do remember correctly, I guess I haven't gone.
Well, I
on
think
NBA.
There are different ways you can search, of course. And
you can still vote on Twitter, hashtag NBA vote, etc.
But look,
what about
like
Freddie Van
too.
Fleet? Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make our picks.
We got Cavs up there. We got Cavs on the ballot.
I know.
To me, that means people are watching the game. If you've got two Cavs up there in the top 10, you got Jared Allen as the top 6. But then there's a big drop off between the top five forwards, and then
then it sort of craters. But yeah. I was pleasantly surprised to see Jaren Allen like even on this list, because it feels like in years prior he like wouldn't even be in the mix. Also, you're always going to get your Mellos and your Derrick Roses and your Clays for that matter, and your Kyries and stuff like that, because people love them.
The fans are
fans of those players, even if they're not playing or not playing like they used to 10 years ago.
And that's why when you see crazy things, it's not that much of a surprise.
Right.
Because, I mean, in theory, Klay Thompson really shouldn't even be eligible for this, really, should he? They should take him off. It's like you can't surely be starting an All-Star game if you're not playing. But they don't want to do that. They want to let the fans have their say. Like it almost happened with Zaza a few years ago.
Right.
They basically
Because
can't have someone like Zaza starting an All-Star game just because he does get the fan vote when it's just wrong if that happens. So
I'm a little disappointed, and maybe this is on us just as much as everybody out there. It would have been fun to try and get Ben Simmons starting the All-Star game.
Clutch Sports it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, we could have really, I guess there's still time to get those votes up, but not even cracking the top 10. A little disappointing. Okay, but let's get to our picks here. Now, I think we decided yesterday, this side of the ping pong table is doing the West. Me and Lee were doing the East.
Yeah.
So we'll start with us.
Yeah.
Let's go with the starters here.
Sure.
I can't imagine we're going to disagree much with the fans so far, but you tell me your starters.
Well, I did the starters a few weeks ago on the show, and I haven't changed my opinion on that. I've got in the front court KD, Giannis, and DeMar back front, whatever he is, Zach LaVine and Trae Young in the back court. I've got two balls
there. Holy crap. You don't have Joel Embiid as a starter?
No, I don't. I as a front court, no.
Okay, well, this DeMar DeRozan thing is ridiculous.
He's a guard, even though
you are right, Lee. I mean, you check Basketball Reference, he plays a majority of his minutes, I guess, on the front court. That's how they determine him. But Trey's right, he's a guard. So I have Embiid, Kevin Durant, Giannis, and then DeMar and Trae Young.
Right.
As my backcourt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think the Bulls, the best team in the East, I think they're deserving, those two. It's very hard to split DeMar and Zach LaVine for me, so I got them both in there. Obviously, I have Joel Embiid coming off the bench.
Okay. What about you guys? I mean, we want you to interject here, just even though you're Western Conference guys. I mean, I know
Western
you have an
Conference
Eastern Conference
guys.
Opinion. Trey, would your vote be going to LaVine and DeMar DeRozan as your starting backcourt, and then your bigs are Joel Embiid, Giannis, and KD?
I think that's an easy five, to be quite honest. I think Trae Young, he is putting up great numbers now, 28 points per game. Surely he has more assists than Zach LaVine, but LaVine's sixth in the league at scoring. He's basically a 50-40-90 guy for the second straight season. I think Trae Young is an all-star, but I would take LaVine in the starting lineup, even if I wasn't a huge homer.
Okay. As you are not a huge homer, who would you have in the starting lineup in the East as that one guard?
I guess the knock on LaVine is he's missed some games when you compare him to Trae Young, but the percentages are just as great. They're both really, really efficient this year. They're playing lights out. It's nice to have an all-Bulls backcourt, but I would probably throw Trae in there alongside DeMar. And I can't get over DeMar, a lot of people, a lot of smart people called him a bad offseason signing. Who are the Bulls bidding against? Now he's friggin' starting everybody across the boards, putting him up there. And I think DeMar was kind of helped because Zach was out, and DeMar kind of, was able to take the number one role and run with it. So he's starting. I'm sure that's going to be universal.
Okay, so then into the reserves here, Lee. Mm. Now I'm curious. How did you like look at it and go, okay, I want three guards, I want three front court players, then a wild card? Did you like, what did you do? Or did you just say, I don't care, I'm just taking my seven guys? What did you think?
Well, in the doc it says, two guards and then three front court.
Yeah, but that's never stopped you
I had to go back to it. Honestly, I felt this year was the biggest year I've ever played, hey, what about this guy, more than any other year.
Okay.
Because so many people have been affected by protocols and being in and out of lineup. So many guys as well feels like, oh, he started bad or he started hot and he's cooled off and vice versa. And it's like, then you look at the record, then you look at the numbers and you're like, is he really an all-star this season? I don't know. It just felt this year, again, more than ever that I was like, wow. Do I make a case for this guy or not? So
Let's go with the guards on your reserves because I didn't have Zach LaVine starting. He's obviously right. one of my reserves. And then you didn't have Trae Young starting. He's one of your reserves.
No, I do have Trae Young starting.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Who anyway,
Embiid.
Embiid, yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So yeah. I've got James
Harden. It feels good to be all jumbled up right from the get-go.
James Harden.
Yes, okay, I agree with you. James Harden is a lock
Jimmy.
For this team.
Freddie All-Star. He is having a career.
Yeah.
When I dug deeper into the numbers, the Raptors have gotten over 500, yeah. which helps my case. Because, look, Trae Young, I mean, the Hawks are out of the play-in right now. You know, and I do like to incorporate all the factors, you know, the eye test, the stats, the record, all those things. But there are times where I'm just like, I look at and I just think, Trae Young, in my opinion, is having a better season than James Harden. Shooting better, scoring more, less turnovers. Way more efficient, even though James Harden's team is doing much better. Yeah. Anyway, so I've got those two there in the backcourt. Then the front court, Joel Embiid is obviously there. Jared Allen, I do have a case for him. He is having a fantastic season.
Is that your only Cav? Spoiler here.
It's still a work in progress. Okay. Let me just say that. And then the other front court.
Take your time.
I found this part really difficult. Yeah. Actually, the next front court, because I think Jason Tatum is having a great season. The Celtics are not. The Celtics are not getting two All-Stars this season.
I 100% agree with you on that fact.
Yeah,
and they were difficult for me. Of like. Is it Tatum or Brown?
Yeah.
And then it can't be both.
No.
Or are both of them not really deserving is the weird thing. Because Tatum is like, he gets his points, but he is having a terrible year efficiently.
Yeah. So. I mean, knocking in 6 threes last night maybe was good for him.
Yeah,
good time.
I agree.
But I mean, he's a star player. I think he is a star player. He's 12-time Tatum, so he's got to start making a few here.
Yeah.
Then I go like to the Milwaukee Bucks, and I look at Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, and it's like, how do you split those guys? They are so identical with what they're doing. The Bucks are playing well. They've got the record. And Middleton, it's like he always gets overlooked and underestimated for his impact.
Yes, he does. But he is not having an incredible year.
I
thought between the two, Drew and Chris, I think it's like I'm easily taking Drew Holiday.
Yeah, but they should get one between the late. They get one spot and they just
each
have to
play a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this was what I was saying before. I'm looking at it and I'm like, neither of them's like, boom, put him in there.
No.
But at the same time, again, the Bucks have been playing well, and when those three play, they're much better. So where am I at here? Anyway, so I went with Tatum. I gave him a spot. I'm like, okay, you get in. You're a star. So that's my five.
Yeah.
Two backcourt, three. Now I've got the wild cards, and this is where it got really even trickier for me.
Really wild.
Yeah.
Because Darius Garland and LaMelo Ball, I look at those two guys, and I was shocked to see the Cavs only have one win more than the Hornets. I thought, it just felt like the Cavs were like five games ahead.
Yep.
I was like, okay. So I dug into it again a little bit more. Very, very similar numbers.
I love
numbers.
When you dig into it.
Well, because
Roxy yelling at you. It's time for dinner, Lee. I'm digging in, Roxy. I can't come eat.
Because look, I think LaMelo has had, again, he stands out a little bit more. He's a bit more flashy. He gets more rebounds. But in terms of like their actual productivity, it's very, very close. And then when I found the stat that I thought, okay, this one sort of really tilts it in Garland's favor.
Yeah.
When he's on the floor, the Cavs, he's got a plus 256. When LaMelo's on the floor, it's only a plus 20. Now, ooh, is LaMelo more important to Cleveland than Garland is to Charlotte than Cleveland? Oh, my God.
We know the teams.
We know what you're talking about.
Right. And I'm like, no, I think LaMelo is more important for Charlotte than what Garland is for the Cavs. But I do think Garland has had a better season overall.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but plus 256, plus 220, total points.
No. Plus 256 in their plus minus.
Oh, okay.
And LaMelo's only plus 220. No,
oh,
plus
20.
20, yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, I think I'm saying, you know what? It's Garland. I think it's Garland who gets in.
What?
You know.
So you think the Cavs are deserving of two All-Stars and the Hornets don't get any, despite them, like you
pointed
out.
I've still got one spot left, yeah. I mean, Bridges.
I can't keep track.
Neither can I. I've got notes all over the place.
You wanted to do this off your phone, I wanted to remind you.
Right before the show, Lee's like,
I'm going to do this without my computer name. I'm like, really? We're picking All-Stars? Yeah. That's a lot of information to remember. Nope. Yeah, I'll do it on my phone. What?
So, all right, so I'm going with Garland. I'm picking on the fly here. I'm taking Garland over Melo. Unlucky for LaMelo, but... Look, he gets cut. He gets cut. Sorry, LaMelo. I know there's going to probably be some fans out there who disagree, but I do just think Garland, this season, the way that the Cavs have been playing, and again, it's only one game difference. It feels way more than that. But he and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, I think, have been really huge, and they've been a bigger surprise than the Charlotte Hornets.
So you have one more spot left,
One more spot left,
yes. Where the hell's it going to?
Well, who knows? I'm going to sort of just figure this out on the fly.
Well, I think you're missing, like, a huge name, I got to point out.
Vooch.
Well, I've got Vooch on the list.
Please don't make this more complicated.
Vooch on the list?
I've got him on the list.
Where is Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler is...
Because he's only played 23 games. Yeah. Some people are going to hold that over.
He's highlighted on my list, on my screen right now, because he has missed a lot of games, and they're only 14-9 when he plays. 14-9 is good, but it's not great. He is putting up a lot of good stats, but he's missed a ton of time. Does he get in? I mean...
His stats are so good.
Yeah.
His team is... good, and he'll get the benefit of that.
Yeah, I look, I do have him ultimately there as my first wild card because of that. Okay. It's like he started off great. The Heat were the best team
for the
first 2 weeks.
Heat are
still
one of the better teams. I know.
I just do sometimes think if you miss that many games, I think that should also count against you because he's seemingly in and out of the lineup a lot lately. So it sort of came down to him. Beal started off slowly. He's really picked it up. Drew Holiday as well. Yeah. So a wild card's great because you can mix it around. And Vucci, again, the Bulls are the...
We're not adding Vucci to the one about this guy.
This has switched around because I was off Vucci and everyone else is on. Now I'm on and everyone else is off.
Vucci is not
but
even
again,
in consideration.
But again, it's not that he's not in consideration. He's in consideration, but...
Okay, he's too low alphabetically to be making this if you ask me. Yeah.
Okay, so I will try and follow that with my reserves. Okay, so my guards were Harden, Zach LaVine, again, because I have trained DeMar DeRozan starting as the guards on my team. And then Fred VanVleet, I do have, like, as my quote-unquote third guard.
Woo-hoo!
Then I went my forwards. I have Jared Allen as a lock. He is my one Cav. I am not taking Garland. And Mobley has been great, but they're not both not going to make my team. I have Jimmy Butler, though I went back and forth on the 23 games played. And, you know, him being out sort of right now, too, that hurts. But then again, it's like, you know, I think, like, Embiid's played, 26 games or something like that? It's really close. This is a weird year. Guys have been out because of COVID. So Jimmy is still an all-star player. I have him in.
Yeah.
I put Tatum in there, but I was debating between Tatum, Jaylen Brown, who's only played, like, 25 or 26 games, too, Sabonis... Who still gets monster? I mean, you want to make a case for Vucci, baby?
I'm telling you, Vucci deserves to be in over more than Sabonis. Look at the paces. Like, he puts up these numbers. We've seen him in the All-Star team a couple last 2 years, but it's like, you can't put Sabonis
in. Anyway, he's in consideration. And then, you've brought him up there too. Sort of, the other forwards were Middleton and sort of Miles Bridges, but he's on the periphery.
Yeah.
So I ultimately went with Tatum. And I don't feel all that great about it, but he's an All-Star, I guess, in my books. And then my wild card spot came down to either LaMelo Ball or Drew Holiday. I was going with like another guard, and I'm going LaMelo Ball over Drew Holiday, and I'm sure some people will be upset about that. You know, Drew's awesome because he's a two-way player. He's VanVleet-like, really.
Yeah.
I mean, like where they can contribute on both ends. So what do you guys say to all of that? Eh?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think, trying to ingest all of that information. I think it is a year where guys who are sort of on the periphery and have never made it before can get in because, like, you know, as you guys have said, Middleton, Holiday, Bam Adebayo, who's been there before, Sabonis has been there before.
Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal
is
a great one. Yeah. And two Celtics who've been there before may not make it.
Right.
But it's going to come down to the coaches possibly thinking, well, of course Tatum's got to make it because he's been there before. But if you're looking at it in terms of merit, a guy like a Jared Allen has to make it this year. I think you know, he may also cannibalize some votes with Darius Garland there, but Fred VanVleet, LaMelo, there's going to be some surprises, and I found it hard to give the Bucks a second All-Star. They've missed so much time, both Middleton and Holiday. I found it very difficult to give the Celtics even one All-Star. You watch the Boston Celtics. Yes, Jason Tatum puts up points, but he's also below average. Shooting the ball from two-point land and from three-point land.
I know.
And his clutch time offense, horrendous. Their offense, horrendous. And they're sub-500. I find it difficult to give Tatum, even though the guy puts up stats.
Do you think, like, if you had to pick between Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum, if you only had, like, one spot left?
go somewhere else. I'm going somewhere else.
I know, because Beal has not been... You know,
no, he's picked it up, though. That's
he has
thing.
Picked it up.
He started off slowly.
As the team has gotten worse, he's gotten better.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about it. It's sort of he's risen, but then they've really tailed off a bit.
It's crazy how that works with Bradley Beal every single season.
He would probably be the guy that coaches say, been there before, check. They're, you know, a 500-ish team.
Yeah.
He would probably get in.
Trey, anything to add to the East here? Like glaring omissions, or what the hell are you talking about? Or can you please repeat your entire team?
Can you run me back every single player you considered on your deep, deep dive? The only thing I could really add is that I think LaMelo has to be at the All-Star game. I would take him over Fred VanVleet. I would take him over Darius Garland. He's probably a notch below Trey Young and Zach LaVine, but I want to see LaMelo in the All-Star game, and that's what it comes down to. One of the most exciting players in the league, having a solid season. The Hornets are doing well, and they've been playing a little bit better lately. So give me LaMelo for sure.
Okay. So there we go. Always fun, isn't it? Let's go to the West. Let's go to the West, guys. Who are your starters? How are you guys tackling?
Yeah,
did you guys have a meeting last night?
let's see if we can do this a little differently. Let's start with our starters. We split it up as guards and forwards.
Ooh,
I'm the guard man. Trey's the big man, obviously.
Very nice.
So we'll start with our starters. For me, obviously everybody knows Steph Curry is starting this game. But the second spot is up for debate. Now, what Trey just said about LaMelo Ball pertains to Ja Morant for me. Ja Morant versus Donovan Mitchell was the debate in my books. Mm-hmm. And Donovan Mitchell is the head of the best offense in the league. Surprisingly, the Jazz are kicking ass. But this is about the fans somewhat. And I think Ja Morant is a one-of-one experience in the league. He's one of a kind, and he should be starting in my book. Now, if you put Donovan Mitchell there, got no problem.
Okay,
but Curry and Morant for me would be my starters. And guys, if you put Chris Paul in there, you put Devin Booker, it makes sense. But guys like Luka have taken a step back this year, and Damian Lillard have taken a step back. So Curry and Morant. Where are we going with the forwards?
Okay, I like that.
Front court starters. LeBron.
What?
Ever heard of him? Pretty good still.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in Lee's picks a couple weeks ago. He's obviously been ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
the last three
that's
weeks.
A fair point.
He came back and lit the league on fire.
Do you think
fire.
You lit a fire under LeBron James?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously listens to the show.
Yeah.
But again, that's why. I mean, you know, when I made those picks, and the same with today, it's not on, like, the Ja Morant is an outstanding choice as far as that's it's a fan's vote. But does he get in over Donovan Mitchell? Based on the way the season's going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So along with Bron.
Okay.
Along with LeBron James, Nikola Jokic is getting the start.
Lock.
Yeah,
easy
makes
one.
That makes a lot of sense. Then it gets maybe a little interesting here.
Now it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Because we got to talk about defense.
Yeah, maybe.
Starting at center. The other center. Also LeBron James. Kind of a center
now. Three centers here.
Three center lineup. The centriest center of them all. Rudy Gobert. Yeah.
I like it. That's my pick.
I don't like it. But he 100% deserves it. The guy's leading the league in field goal percentage and rebounds per game. He's the current beef king. And we haven't had a 20-rebound game in the All-Star game since Dikembe Mutombo in 2001. So I'd like to see Rudy Gobert go out there and just get every single rebound.
That'd be cool.
It's good that LeBron picked it up, because this could be an even more defensive front court if LeBron, you know, stayed injured. It could be Draymond Green taking his spot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it came down to for me for the last starter in the West front court, was between Draymond and Rudy Gobert, and they're both defense guys. So, I don't know. It's like, do you want the guy that's going for 15 and 15 or the guy with a triple single? I don't know the last time somebody started an All-Star game with a triple single, so... Give me Rudy Gobert. He was easier to find on the user experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have found it hard to give Rudy Gobert a starting spot in the game for a long time, because he's never been an offensive player. You'd think, you know, the best players in the game should be able to just go get a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But Rudy Gobert's having his best year. He really is having his best year, and he's getting better. So I got no problem with that. So then you're going to throw Dre as a lock as a forward spot.
Yep.
And to me, as I said, Donovan Mitchell, starter or not, he's a lock in the backcourt.
Okay.
So we got seven players. I'll throw in a couple more guards.
Okay.
And it's both Suns.
There you go.
Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And it's helped that Luka Doncic has not been himself, and he's just hasn't been great this year, because that would have been a debate, and Damian Lillard as well. So those are my guards are Mitchell, Booker, and Chris Paul to back up my two guards of Morant and Curry. So we got a nice five of them right there. We'll get to the wild cards and five of them.
Nice five of them.
And a nice I like how I personally say guards and forwards, because this front court doesn't make sense.
That is weird. That's weird when you put it that way.
Guards and forwards. All right, so I've got my five guards. Who are you adding to Draymond Green with your forward reserves?
I've got another center, actually.
Yeah, that's why it's FC, front court.
It's all centers in the Western Conference. Actually, a really shallow group, I feel like. Of the four positional groups, I feel like the West front court is kind of the weakest, because you got LeBron, Jokic, Gobert, Draymond, absolute locks. And then I got Karl-Anthony Towns as a minor lock.
Yeah.
He's at 24-9-3, 50% from the field, 42% from three, 82%. From the free throw line. He's having a great season. He's putting up numbers. He can be frustrating to watch. If it comes down to rebounding in the fourth quarter of this game, I much rather would see Rudy Gobert out there than Karl-Anthony Towns, because he is not going to grab a rebound in the fourth quarter. But he's having a good year, and he's deserved to be back in the All-Star game. Yep. So that's my last minor lock, front court wise.
Yeah, and that's why I think Andrew Wiggins has some potential to get in there.
That's right.
I would put in Towns before Wiggins, but I think Wiggins is going to squeeze in.
Yeah, you see here, this is my last bro in category, because you need one more front court player, and then it's a tough choice between Paul George, who's having a nice season, 24-7-5. Percentages aren't that great.
He's sort of Tatum-like.
He's a little bit of a Tatum right now. Anthony Davis is the other choice, 23-10-3 with a couple of blocks and a steal, but both of those guys are having good, not great seasons, and both on the shelf right now.
That hurts.
Which is then when Wiggins comes into play. 19 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 49-42-70, 26th in the NBA in scoring, 11th in the Western Conference. That's not bad. The other guy you would have to consider, DeAndre Ayton, to get all centers in there. 17-11, shooting 62% from the field. But honestly, seeing how well JaVale McGee has played for the Suns, Bismack Biyombo, Jalen Smith, even Frank Kaminsky had a nice run. I'm like, just let Chris Paul be a front court player as well, because he will get any big guy buckets at a high percentage. So I don't necessarily trust the Suns' big guy as an all-star. So last bro in's got to be between Paul George, Anthony Davis, and Andrew Wiggins. What are you thinking, Tassie? What do you think?
I think Wiggins is getting in there. I think the Paul George being hurt, that kills his chances. And he peaked in October, and a decline in November, December. Now he's out. I find it hard to put him in there. The Anthony Davis storyline, not good. Well.
No.
And I think Wiggins has got some potential to be there. So just to recap, Curry, Morant, Jokic, LeBron, Gobert, starters. Draymond is a lock. Donovan Mitchell, Booker, Chris Paul are in there as well. And then Towns, I think, is fine. Yeah. And we got two more spots.
So you got two more spots. It sounds like you're contemplating, of course, Paul George or a Wiggins.
Yeah, I think it's Wiggins and Luka are the ones who get in as the wild cards, because they went out over Lillard. Well, the coaches just check Lillard. Has he got a Lifetime Achievement Award? Is it just going to happen year after year after year for Lillard now? I say nay. But the Paul George AD thing, I mean, they're a sub-500 team now, both of those teams, wherever the Lakers end up in the standings. Same with the Clippers. So that hurts them. And so, even though Towns is in the same boat, a sub-500 guy, I think Wiggins and Luka would be my last two picks.
And Trey, who are you ultimately going with there?
I'm definitely going with Luka, and order me a sandwich.
Wiggins thing. You could make the exact same case for like Bogdanovich with the Jazz. They're basically identical. But for some reason, we're all latched on
Wiggins. Well, I don't think it's going to be Wiggins. It's going to be Lillard. I think they'll still give him the All-Star spot as long as he's healthy, just because it's Lillard and the counting stats are going to be there. But I don't know. There's not a great last candidate for Western Conference frontcourt guy.
Right.
Really.
Right.
That's how Wiggins squeezes it.
I'm basically the same. Like, honestly, Anthony Davis, his numbers are the most deceptive, I think, of any candidate there, because 23 points, 52%, 10 rebounds if you round up there. It doesn't feel like he has had any significant impact on the Lakers this season, as we've seen in years gone by. So he's out for me. Luka, again, he's been injured and the Mavericks have struggled, but I've got him in, I think, because he just does so much for that team. And then the Wiggins one, it is weird because it's like there are other guys who seemingly have an impact, but Wiggins has stood out this season. You know, I mean, what about your man?
Well, what I liked with your team, and when I was making my West team too, I like that you have two guys from the three best teams in the Western Conference. You've got two Jazz players, you've got two Suns players, and you got two Warriors players. And then it's like we are all now debating like, well, which of those three really elite teams gets the third guy? And I don't think it needs to be. And here's the other thing: why does it doesn't need to be a front court player? Maybe it's another guard, right? Like maybe it is like a DeJounte Murray or. You know, I don't think it's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but there are many other guards that I guess could get a look, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of forcing a Wiggins or even a Paul George who's injured or an Anthony Davis who's injured, right? Does it need to be a front court player?
Yeah, I'm with Trey in that it's probably Dame.
You think it's Dame? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers not so good.
I mean, he could just get the respect vote there. Yeah. Otherwise, he's not been good again. And the Blazers have been a disaster as well. Yeah. So who knows? That's why I think it's the same as it was in the Eastern Conference. I think there's so many guys who you could make a case for, none of them sort of super convincing over the other guy.
Do you want to expand the rosters?
No.
Shrink them,
yeah. Seven players, and that's it. Okay. I mean, honestly, I think Anthony Edwards has a case as well. I think he has a case for how he's been for the Timberwolves this season. But, you know, more of a case... Then again, someone like a Lillard who you just know is having a rough season by his standards, but he does get that sort of, historical sort of advantage where it's like, well, we'll give you a pass this season and get you
the
in.
The legacy bump.
Yeah, exactly. Those sorts of things.
Is there any other what about this guy that you just want to get off your chest here in the conference? Because there's two names three names, I guess, that haven't been said out loud that I think
people have been thinking about them, though.
Speak the name.
Okay. They're not making it, but Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
He's playing great right now.
Kristaps Porzingis? No. Dare I say it?
No, don't say it, man. I had Valanciunas over Porzingis. Oh, wow. And even I couldn't put him into my actual notes. I just had it in my brain.
And then I've got De'Aaron Fox, I mean, who's putting up like good numbers too, but he's not gonna make it.
Wow.
I mean, and look, I'll say here now. Trey won the bet. He won the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander bet because he's not making it. It's what's sad is his numbers are worse than they were last year. Mm. And it was nice that the Thunder started winning some games there, and everybody got excited, and he had like some big shots that helped his case. But there's too many guards. Like, even if it came down, to a Lillard, he's going to get picked over him. I think DeJounte Murray would get picked over Shai right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a Fox. Maybe even an Edwards. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, unfortunately, and as much as I love him, as much as I want to win this bet, I don't think it's going to happen. So, well done. I don't know what we bet on it. I can't remember. But,
I think we just said we were betting, just in general.
Well, I like that.
Just
like
a gentleman's
that.
Bet.
Respect to you.
I was feeling pretty good, though, when I listened to Zach Lowe and Chris Herring talk. And Zach Lowe didn't really even mention Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And he goes deep like Lee Ellis goes deep on a list.
Okay. All right.
Poor Shai. There's talk about him in the first month of being here. But it really hurts he doesn't have a second guy to take some of the defensive intensity away. Mm-hmm. If you're playing OKC, you just got to take away Shai. I remember the conversation even a couple of years ago while you guys were debating who's going to be an all-star first was Shai or Ja Morant. Who you got?
Oh, yeah.
And Ja has really risen this year. And dude, they're winning. They are they're the hottest team in the Western Conference. They are running away with the fourth spot in the West. Yeah. That's amazing for him.
And he missed 12 games too, Ja Morant.
Yeah, so people are saying maybe that hurts his candidacy because they were great when he was out. But
I usually truthfully care. Like, you have to have played enough games for me to like put you on the All-Star team. Like, and like it changes from year to year, but like it's ballpark. Like, you have to have played like 60% of your games, 65% of your games. But there's a lot of guys because of COVID this year that are like right on the precipice of that. Like Jimmy Butler below it, you know, Embiid just above. Like, there's a lot of guys like that. So of all the years, I was like, I don't really care that much.
No, but I do factor it in as well for that reason. It's like, if you're not playing.
But you had Jimmy Butler on your team.
Yeah, yeah, but
he
was
like 55% of his games.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. He was lower on the list.
You still had him on your team.
I know. But I was trying to find all sorts of reasons to sort of, you know, weight something in one guy's favor. And, you know, like, again, Jaylen Brown and Tatum.
That's honestly, interesting one.
That is an interesting one.
Pick one of those guys because I think they're as good as each other.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way Boston at what are they, 18 and 21,
yeah,
I think
both
now.
Of them, yeah.
There's no way they're getting two.
And it wasn't, I think it was last year where they both made it.
They did.
They're a 500 team.
Yeah.
It's not that dissimilar.
Right, right,
but
right.
Because they haven't lived up to expectations, they've also missed a ton of games, especially Jaylen Brown. But I think I would take JB over JT.
Ooh,
at this point.
Oh, geez. I have to save that conversation for another day.
We
got to take our first break. Always fun talking All-Stars. Hey, guess what? We're going to do this again when we get closer to the All-Star break. Maybe it'll make a little more sense by then, you know, because there are so many guys in consideration.
Like, well, and also, you know, they don't have East and West games anymore, right? So why not just put them all in a big bundle and just pick the 24? I mean... That's how they pick the team.
Oh, you want to say, who cares if we have 20 guys from the West?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
who's getting squeezed?
Who's which getting conference squeezed? Are you asking?
Yeah. I mean, well, the East is
probably getting most squeezed.
Yeah. I mean, that tends to be the way. But that's the thing. Why have them split if it doesn't actually matter when you pick the teams? You know?
Maybe we'll have a visual board with magnetic names.
Oh, did they do the Elam ending last season? Did they do the Elam ending?
Yeah.
They did that last season.
Lillard hit a game-winning three, didn't he?
I think you're right.
He hit a bomb three.
Yeah,
that was isn't this the game where they played in Atlanta? They're wearing Pacers All-Star jerseys.
Because I remember they did it in Chicago and it came down, but then I couldn't remember.
I'm pretty sure Lillard hit like a 37-foot bomb to win
it.
Isn't it the same game? Didn't Curry hit a corner three and turn around, right, like LeBron had done in the regular season?
Yeah. he maybe, perhaps he shimmied. I feel like there was a shimmy happening as well.
I think Chris Paul threw down a noop. Like, I think these things
happened. Chris Paul definitely did catch an alley-oop.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
Wow. That was the game that never happened.
Do you know why?
Yeah,
the
really
only
is.
Reason I'm remembering any of these moments? Because of Top Shot.
There you go.
That's the only reason, because they're actually moments on Top Shot. Okay, we're going to take our first break. JD, when we come back, we'll get into the game of the night, which was RJ Barrett banking home a three against the Celtics, and we can talk about Boston and their struggles, and we got five-star Friday and all that, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back with No Dunks. It's time to talk a little bit about the action last night. Only four games on. Three of them were sort of blowouts, but man, one was a banger. RJ Barrett banks in the three at the buzzer. Bing, bong, bank. Knicks beat the Celtics 108-105. Crazy game.
Yeah. Does anybody know what first half leads mean in the NBA?
They mean nothing.
Nothing at all.
But what about a third quarter 20-point lead?
Doesn't apparently mean anything to the Boston Celtics, who have blown four 19-plus leads this season to go on and lose. And it happened again last night. Fantastic. Second quarter. Really solid second quarter there from Celtics. They hit 8 of 14 threes. 8 for 9 at one point. Horford was dropping them. Schroeder was hitting them.
Josh Richardson.
Yeah. Jason Tatum, who really made a good case for his All-Star candidacy last night with 36 points on 6-3. But this was just an incredible game, and the Garden was packed, and the Celtics looked like they really were going to bounce back from losing the night before against the San Antonio Spurs. They punched the Knicks in the mouth. And the lead was 24 with about a minute and a half to go in the second quarter. And then the Knicks did close on an 8-0 run. They sort of got a little bit of momentum. Yeah. And then in the third quarter, they got closer to 7 points, but it was the last quarter where Evan Fournier, what an incredible performance from this guy. Hit 10 threes last night, 41 points. One of the ones he hit late, falling out of bounds as the shot clock was expiring. It was just like everything he threw up last night went in. It got the Knicks back into it. And the Celtics, again, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, they need someone who can just get them into their sets.
They need a floor general.
Exactly. They're trying with Shooter. They're trying kind of with Tatum to just say, you know, go and do it. And Tatum was very, very good last night, let's be fair to him. But they just don't have that steady hand, that Chris Paul type of guy. Now, there's not a Chris Paul you can just go and pick up.
They need
up
a Chris Paul or a Lowry or a Drew
Holiday.
Exactly.
They need someone. And Ime Udoka talked
about
after the game.
What about Avery Johnson? Is he available?
He was great, actually, at the Mavs Dirk retirement. Yeah, little thing. He's got the best voice, Avery Johnson. anyway, but the same problem that has affected the Celtics a lot, closing out games, especially in the fourth quarter, they looked like their offense was basically just like, all right, someone do something. And it wasn't good enough. And the Knicks closed this game out. Fournier hit, of course, hit three threes, hit six in the second half. But it was an RJ Barrett banker with 1.5 seconds to go. I don't know if that was the play they drew up. Doesn't matter. It went in. It was an incredible shot. And the Bing Bong Knicks won again. The second just wild game in the Garden. I thought we were going to overtime as we had on their opening game of the season. It looked like it with only a second and a half to go. But a fantastic, gutsy win here from the Knicks, who have won two in a row at home now. And the first one against the Pacers, sure, but an impressive win. And this one, to actually show this fight and get back into it, is inspiring. And the crowd was going just wild. I don't know if there's been another video from the Street Talk NYC guys.
I don't think so.
there must be something coming, because the fans would have been spilling out onto the street. So really good stuff here. And the Celtics have got some problems. I think closing out games, they need a backcourt partner. And I'm not sure exactly how they're going to solve this, because they have a huge vulnerability late in games.
What do you think?
Well, a couple things. Yeah, Evan Fournier averaging 35 points against the Boston Celtics this year. Against the rest of the league, he's averaging 11.7. Mm. I've never seen a gap that big.
Yeah.
Three games against the Celtics, 35 points. Maybe you might want to go over screens. Maybe he was getting you know what's coming. He's going to shoot some open shots. Obviously, he got hot for some reason. Here's the reason. He played for the Celtics, and he can focus in on kicking their ass, and they let him go, and they didn't give him enough of a role. But anyway, he focuses in, destroys them. Celtics will always be a good team with the way they play, but never a great team. And I think it just ties into their shot selection. Good shots, not great shots. Mm-hmm. They don't change or swap out good shots for great shots. They don't make that extra zip of a pass. They take way too much time to get into their sets. They take way too much time looking for guys, and then they just end up with an okay shot, especially from Marcus Smart, which is, you know, you're going to be average. This is a 500 team. This team screams 500. To have four 19-point losses this season when no other team has more than two, I think there's some there's serious issues there. Do they like each other in that locker room? I mean, they come out and play defense, so I guess that's not a problem. But they need some direction with their offense.
Bad run for the Celtics here. So they've had Danny Ainge say, or you call him Danny Ainge.
Brad Stevens.
Yeah. Might as well be a Danny Ainge.
All Dannys
are
Brad.
We got a lot to fix. And then Ime Udoka says, we need veteran leadership and a point guard, basically.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. When your best passers are Al Horford and Robert Williams, you don't have good passers on your team. Your big guys should not be your playmakers unless it's Nikola Jokic or something like that, right? Yeah. And that's the problem. It's because, like, Tatum, I was loving the first three quarters saying, look at how this guy is passing the ball. He's setting up his teammates left and right. They're knocking down shots. Let's see if he can do it if this game ever gets close. Of course, it gets close. He had two assists in the fourth quarter. He did make some other nice passes, but it's got to be frustrating when you're kicking the ball out and it's Marcus Smart who's going to be the one shooting the three, or it's Josh Richardson who's going to be shooting the three. They just don't have enough shooting around. They don't have natural playmakers out there. I think when we look back on this Celtics era, we're going to say they stuck with Marcus Smart for too long, because that's a guy that's been around for a lot of eras of this kind of version of the Celtics. He was there with Isaiah Thomas. He was there with Kyrie. He's obviously still there now. He's been the one consistent player in the backcourt, and he's a super inconsistent player, which is why they blow first half leads every five games is what it feels like. So I don't know. They play defense, but they still don't seem to play together to me.
Yeah, Brad Stevens, that's Marcus Smart of one of his guys too. You know, he loved coaching him. Now he is the general manager. Will he move on from him? Because I don't think they're moving on. Certainly not from Tatum. Brown potentially, but I don't think so. I think they want to sort of keep those two together because they are so talented and so good. But they need to shake things up in the front court and the back court there for Boston.
Is there like a gettable point guard that you could think of? Like, I mean, man, this is a team that really could have used like a Rubio coming into this squad, right?
Mm, well, nice.
We saw the impact that he had on, or for Cleveland. Is there anybody else? Like the only one I can come up with, like gettable, and it might be like because of a buyout, like Dragic would help this team?
I think
just
he would.
Just to sort of get them into their sets and obviously a vet and just sort of like, you know, well, let's get him the ball. Let's run some things here instead of just ISO, ISO, ISO. But I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head.
I'm in that camp. He is a sort of like a Kemba-like. Dragic looks for his own shot at times, but he's played for great teams, and he knows who to swing the ball to. And, yeah, he's willing to give it one more run as the lead point guard. Yeah, I just don't. Listen, I love when the Celtics play the Knicks this season. It doesn't get much better than that. But at the same time, the Celtics can play better on offense. Again, they got to go from good to great. Don't want to sound like a coach. Don't want to sound like Ime Udoka out there. But, yeah, it must be a struggle for Ime out there. He started his starters at the beginning of the fourth quarter thinking, okay, let's close this out. Even though our bench guys should be out there against the Knicks bench players, we got to win this game. And then they can't. And then, yeah, they just have a lot of bad possessions.
Yeah, that Schroeder, I think it was Schroeder, had the turnover there too with like 20 seconds to go
Mitchell Robinson, something like that.
And then the Knicks were like leaving the door open for this to go to overtime because they kept splitting free throws, right? Barrett went to the line at one point, split a pair. I think Randall did, split a pair as well. And then Tatum hit that beautiful jumper with like only a second and a half to
go.
Or still enough time for Barrett to
bank roll. Yeah, he lost the ball. You know,
that's true.
And they got it back there. But speaking of Julius Randle, he had the Tobias Harris.
I wanted to get your guys' opinion on that.
Thumbs down.
So midway through the fourth quarter of this game, Randle makes a layup, and as he runs back to the other end of the court, he gave the sellout crowd there the thumbs down as they cheered for him because he had just hit a basket. When asked after the game what message he was trying to get across to the fans, Randle didn't mince words. Shut the fuck up, he said. So, hey, this guy tells it like it is. What do you think?
Well, I think if you play for the Knicks, a bit like the Sixers, when you're winning, you're going to get bing-bonged and you're going to have people saying, we're back, baby, and all that.
Yeah.
When you're losing against the biggest rival as well, like that, and you have been, again, struggling, no one mentioned Julius Randle. If you look at purely his numbers, he's putting up decent numbers, but he's nowhere near all-star contention this season. But the fans are going to get on him a bit. He set the bar really high, and he hasn't been able to meet that this season. He's been frustrating. He hasn't looked as good. Fans are going to let it out.
He had like a brutal first half where he did nothing, but then was awesome in the second.
He was. Yeah. He was very good. And that's the sort of way it goes. The fans are like, all right, we do love you again. You know, we're back. But if you frustrate them and the team, as I say, is getting smoked, they have to take it out on someone. And he's been a bit of a frustration for a lot of the Knicks. But most of the Knicks, at some point this season, have been up or down. Barrett certainly has. Yep. Kemba Walker, one player of the week, after being in the doghouse there for a while. He had a triple-double. He had 44 points, I think it was, there. So, you know, that's just what it's like when you are playing for the Knicks. That's the way it is. And Julius, I wouldn't say shut the fuck up like that because
why?
Fans will remember that, I think. And so
New
now,
York loves that. Exactly.
Yeah,
well, New York loves that. Sure,
but
you're booing
great.
Me, I'm booing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm booing in.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it plays out because, you know, it's been a frustrating year there for the Knicks. I haven't met last year's standard so far.
Yeah. Crazy game.
I didn't follow the Javier Baez booing with the Mets.
Yeah.
I didn't follow the fallout from that, but I think they've fallen back in love with Javier Baez. Am I right?
No clue.
Dwight Howard actually has a good approach. He's like, boo. He boos himself when they're booing. Yeah, he sort of like says, all right, let's do it. Let's all just boo each other because he's been booed pretty much everywhere he's played at some point. So maybe that's the approach. Don't get into a tug of war with the fans. Just go along with it. Like, yeah, I deserved it.
Quick look at Baseball Reference. Javier Baez is now a Detroit Tiger.
Oh, I guess it didn't work out.
Yeah. See you on the Pistons, Julius.
Oh, man. Rough. Let's hear from Knicks fans. Are you offended by Julius Randle telling you to shut the fuck up when he, he feels like, well, you weren't on my side at the beginning of this game or at times this season, and now when I got it going and we're coming back, oh, you're all for it. What do you think? Let us know there in the stream team. The other action last night, Ja Morant and the Grizzlies killed the Pistons for their seventh straight victory. Man, Memphis rolling. Brandon Ingram, nice game, scored 32. Pelicans beat the depleted Warriors. No Curry, no Draymond Green, 101-96. And then Chris Paul had a triple-double. Chris Paul had 13 rebounds. Mm. Career high. Yeah. Career high for Chris Paul as the NBA leading Suns topped the Clippers 106-89. Any of those games interest you, Tess?
Well, it's interesting. Chris Paul, best season? He's got his career high in rebounds. No, it's not his best season, but good for him. good for him.
Yeah.
Great for, obviously, the Memphis Grizzlies, who, hottest team in the West, locking up that four seed, are going to play at home. We're going to get a home court playoff series in Memphis, it sure feels like.
Wow, you're calling this early here.
Yeah, they got a five-game gap between four and five. Okay. Yeah, it's opened up real wide. Incredible for a small market team with Memphis that traded away Jonas Valanciunas before the season. It sure felt like they were going to take a lateral step, but for them to jump up from the play-in tournament status to a home court advantage, I think they will get home court advantage. And then the final game there, yeah, the Warriors lost without their stars, but Gary Payton II got a guaranteed contract. Mm. Boom. You got to like that for that young guy because he's been bouncing. I don't even know how old he is.
He's 29. He's 28 or 29. Yeah.
Call him young, but he's been bouncing around. We've been doing the show for a long time talking about Gary Payton coming into the league, bouncing up from the G League. 10-day contracts, bouncing back and bouncing forward, and maybe he can find his way. Well, obviously, he's found his way into a rotation, and Steve Kerr said pregame, he was asked about the contract being guaranteed. He said, I'll speak for the Warriors. We're guaranteeing that contract. And yeah, great for Gary Payton. And he also said, I see him playing in big games no matter what. He's part of the rotation now. So that is great for him. They made him into a really unique player where he's hanging out in the dunker spot, getting big dunks, but also a defensive stopper. So good for him.
Bismack Biyombo also getting a contract there with the Suns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And somehow is the same age as Gary Payton II, as we learned the other day.
Oh, man.
That blew your mind.
That's crazy.
GP2, same age as Biyombo. Whoa. Wow. But yeah, the Suns have the best record in the league here now, which is pretty. And Booker didn't even have a good game last night. Yeah, bad game.
No. They will definitely get two All-Stars. Will they get a third?
We don't need to do this again.
Yeah. I know, honestly, there wasn't really anything else to talk about from these games except Ja Morant telling Dwayne Casey to take a timeout, and he did.
Yeah.
So that was nice of him to say, I think you need to talk it over with your guys. So. Yeah,
very, very nice of him. All right, let's get to Five Star Friday Fun. There it is.
It's Five Star Friday. The first Friday of every month, we read you five of the best five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and maybe sometime in the future, Spotify Podcasts. Because right now it's just five stars, which is great. Give us the five-star ratings on Spotify as well, but...
You can't say anything.
Can't say anything.
Yeah.
This five-star review from Spotify, five stars. Next one, five stars. Okay, these are from Apple Podcasts. This one, Podcast of the Year.
All right.
From No Dinks, five stars. I had to do a five-star Friday review on a Thursday because of how good the pods have been. These guys drop dimes every time they get on the mic. And shout out to y'all for getting me into Survivor. Mm. The saga continues. Hashtag Wu-Tang. Cool. This is the second year I'm writing this, and the last review still stands. 6 out of 5 stars. Let's get that to 7.
Got really weird at
the
end.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. Our second review, Cool Dudes. This one comes from Big Hops 213. This is the greatest basketball podcast ever because they talked about a wedgie before Steph's three-point record the day after he broke it. Enough said. We've got our priorities in order here. Wedgies first, then all-time records.
We are in a bit of a wedgie drought right now.
That's a great point.
We haven't had one in a while since Christian Wood stuck an alley-oop wedgie.
Then they suspended him.
Yeah.
For the wedgie.
Yeah, I know. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, not a lot of people know that January 1st, Adam Silver sent a memo to all the teams, said, do not get your balls stuck in the ribs. Our next review, my second favorite legume-related podcast from 5G Trez. No beans. This is my go-to bean pod. But no dunks is pretty good, too. consistent as a pinto, but hearty as a fava.
Nice.
And you know it's good for your soul, too. Like a mung.
What is a mung bean?
What is a mung bean?
I don't know.
Don't ask me, man. You guys are he's the bean master.
I thought we were just going to get into the regular beans, a black bean after the pinto, but this man went to a mung. I love me a fava.
What's it look like, Trey? You're looking at something.
Beans?
Yeah, it just looks like a bean.
It looks like beans to me.
It looks like peas from this angle.
Looks a little like peas.
Huh.
Is this what bean sprouts come from? Is that kind of seems like that's where bean sprouts come from?
Maybe.
Where do bean sprouts come from? All right, our next review from Lindsay Brady. Get an athletic subscription. Thought about getting an athletic subscription? Don't wait a minute longer. Our family saved hundreds of dollars once my husband stopped listening to the hypnotic No Dunk ad reads. Five stars.
Smart.
Just got Element Water Mix, AG Water Mix, Oxygen Water. Pour it all in your dugout mug and swirl it up and take a drink.
Oh, man, I wish we did an ad read for dugout mug.
Man, I'm regretting not getting an Atlanta Braves dugout mug when we had the chance.
Yeah.
Regrets.
What was our deal?
I don't know.
You got one barrel free.
Yeah, exactly. Buy one barrel, get a second barrel free. Our final five-star review, Foul Mouth 5 stars from Timon and Pumbaa. When did this basketball podcast turn R-rated? This used to be a wholesome show, and now I'm hearing Fs and Ss and As for an hour and a half every day. It's wild stuff. So vulgar. 5 stars. Not a complaint, it doesn't seem like.
No.
More like an observation.
Yeah.
These guys cuss.
I think we throw an explicit tag on the podcast, do we not, JD? Can you confirm that?
I can confirm that I rarely do, actually.
Oh, okay, great. Great. Maybe you want to start doing that.
Maybe.
Yeah. I know.
I always forget, that's all. I just forget to do it.
But, all right, well. Apologies to any of you out there that don't like the odd F-bomb. I don't think we go overboard.
Go crazy,
I mean, you swore the other day. That really caught
when
me
when was that?
Surprise. Yeah, I remember.
I don't know.
Maybe it was in last year, like at the end of last year.
We're sort of like a good MLB hitter. I'd say we do it about 33% of the time. One of every three shows, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Somebody tries to cuss.
I think we're batting a bit higher than that. Yeah. Oh,
we're about Ted Williams, you know.
All right, nice. 5 Star Friday. Back in our lives, the first Friday of every new month is when Trey finds the best ones and shares them on the show. So you've got a good month now to get your 5-star rating and review in on Apple Podcasts. Unfortunately, you can't on Spotify. But you can leave this 5 for
I mean, who knows what'll happen in the next month? It appears they're beefing up their operations over there.
Yeah, smart.
Starting with the reviews.
Great.
I'm looking forward to some mung bean soup, actually. Got a comment here about mung beans are very good. If you know anyone who's Christian Angus writes, if you've got a Filipino friend, ask for the mung bean soup. Ooh. It's God tier.
Wow.
I love me a bean soup.
So cold in here today. I would love a soup. So maybe during this break right now, we'll whip together a little mung bean soup.
I'll do you a fava, and I'll go get you some bean soup.
All right,
soup.
We're going to take our final break, but we got Tweet of the Night, picking results, and some very difficult rapid-fire questions. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, guys. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects. I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/nodunks.
Back with no dunks. No mung soup for you, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm a lima. Liar. Lima. Yeah.
Got some bean puns in you, eh?
I got some beans in me, yes. Yes, I do. Rattling around.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, Tweet of the Night, definitely for the people watching here on YouTube, for the stream teamers, because it's a visual. Air, B, and Billy, which is a great Twitter name, tweeted, I think it was maybe yesterday, whoever was designing at And One was going too crazy. That was the tweet. And then Air, B, and Billy had a couple And One tweets of these old shirts. Take us back to the 90s, baby. Call me the surgeon, because I just took your heart, says this faceless guy busting through your operating room door, holding your heart. All right, that's one. Go to church. Pray you don't guard me, says faceless and one guy. He's all jacked, isn't he? And hitting the weights. All right, next one. Give and go. Give up the game and go home. Gotcha. I like that he changed into his red shorts for that one.
No legs.
Yeah. And finally, from And One, stop pinching yourself. This nightmare is real. That one's creepy.
That one's creepy.
That one, like,
big
he's just
time creep.
Peering over your bed. So yeah, remember these And One shirts?
I don't.
You don't remember these?
No,
maybe you didn't have them in Australia.
I don't think so. Do you guys remember the brand No Fear?
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me a bit of that.
Yeah,
that was
for
always
sure.
like you're a wimp if you don't do this.
What about Big Johnson shirts? Did you have those?
I don't think so.
You know what I'm talking about?
You would love Big Johnson.
You know what I'm talking about? Those were always banned in our high school.
You were not wearing a Big Johnson shirt or a co-ed naked shirt at Plano High School. We should make a no-dunks version of one of these.
Yeah.
Like an And One.
Yeah. It's Lee's body with a no face, but he's still got his glasses, okay. So you know it's him. I saw one of them said, I hope you brought lotion. You're about to get burned. Ours will say, hope you brought sun cream and a long sleeve shirt. We're about to read emails.
Yeah. And One shirt. I mean, you were a big And One shoe guy. We've talked about that before. Your Tai Chi's. But what about the shirts? Did you have a t-shirt?
Nah.
Young Melis? No?
No. That first one, really memorable, though. The first one that we saw.
Which one was that again?
I don't know. It's not that memorable.
The heart. Wasn't it the heart?
Yeah, the heart.
The
surgeon.
The heart is
surgeon.
The one that I remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Call me the surgeon. I just took you.
I want to say there were like 100 of these.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But maybe I'm, misremembering. It feels like there were so many, like with different taglines. Right, yeah.
My game's butter. You're toast. Yeah. I'm the mayor. I do work from downtown.
Are you coming up with these or are these real ones?
I looked them up.
Oh, okay.
Your best defense is your breath.
that one
a little more.
Yeah.
Your best defense is your breath. I don't wear deodorant, so stay away.
No way.
I did make up
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, okay.
You could tell because it was shitty. Sorry about the S word.
All right. If you've got a good And One tagline for us, drop it in the stream team, tweet at us. Excuse me. Hey, did you lose your voice?
Yeah, I just
ripped it out of your throat because I kicked your ass so bad.
Damn.
I think it got really intense by the end.
tweet
at us at NoDunks Inc. or drop him in the stream team or in the YouTube comments. A 2022 and one line, and maybe we'll talk to Breaking Tea and you know, get the rights to that faceless guy and make a bootleg version or something like that.
You think they got the rights to all faceless basketball players everywhere?
Probably. And one, this was a 90s thing, from what I remember, and then disappeared. Like, suddenly left our lives, but then it came back. In like, I want to say like 5 or 6 years ago. I remember there was like something was back.
Of a comeback.
Yeah,
it wasn't the most technical of shoes.
Nah,
this is really a slipper.
Yeah,
it was. It really was. I love me some Tai Chis.
You love them, yeah.
But that was just because they were pretty comfortable. Okay. It was almost just like I can't believe people balled in them. Lance Stephenson was balling in it the other day.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if it's the same thing that you just slip the same ones that I slipped on, but. I can understand why they kind of went away.
All right. Let's hear Sherry Ann One stories with us, too.
Well, Eric Kuhn here in the stream team. I must be Carlos Boozer because I just got a and one.
Like if you put a Boozer's face on the guy, the and one guy is pretty strong looking. Any others that the stream team's coming through with? No. Pick 'em results from last night brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Celtics-Knicks game that we had. Boston was favored by 1.5 in MSG, but the Knicks pulled it off. That little miracle shot there from RJ Barrett. So huge win for myself and for Trey because we had the Knicks. So I take the lead here, which has been a thing we haven't been able to say in a long time. I'm 3-1, but everybody else is 2-2 because Tass and Lee had the Celtics.
Yeah, four nights in here, we got ourselves a race, looking good, and we've got ourselves a great night in the NBA. 9 games. The biggest one, I would say, is a rematch of the second round of the playoffs last year when Kevin Durant was trying to topple the Milwaukee Bucks all by himself. This is the second time they're playing this season. Opening night they played. Milwaukee smacked the Bucks as they accepted their rings. Game number two here, Nets, big favorite at home. 4.5 points. Drew Holiday just entered health and safety protocols. He will not be playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. The only person on the Bucks is Trey tonight, thinking that the Bucks will lose by 4 or less, obviously, or win the game outright. Trey, why are you rolling with these Buckaroos?
Well, I like the idea of them getting the points here. I'm assuming Giannis is going to play, but I was a little sad to see about Drew Holiday today because when I made this pick, I didn't know that. That's all right. This is an intentional swerve. I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm happy.
There you go. Well, good luck to TK there and the Bucks fans. Everybody else taking the Nets. You got to win by 5 points. Don't forget that part. Okay, let's end this drop with a little rapid-fire fun. Tass, you got the questions.
I do. You tell me if these are hard out there. They're always a little hard. First one. Upon returning from a 1-game suspension for leaving the arena at half following a spat with his coaches, the Rockets' Kevin Porter Jr. came up big, hitting the game-winning shot. Name a time you totally redeemed yourself after initially screwing up. Skeets.
I found this so difficult to answer.
Could be minuscule. You could.
Well, my answer is very minuscule.
All right.
Nora once told me, "Hey, can you go buy me some cilantro?"
Okay.
And I was like, "Yeah, no problem." And instead, I screwed up and I bought the flat-leaved parsley. They look very similar.
Quite similar.
Sure. Very, very similar. Sure. And I came home and I said, "Here you go. Here's your cilantro." And she said, "That's not cilantro, you dummy. That's parsley." And I'm like, "Oh my god! I thought I always forget there's two parsleys." There's the
Italian parsley.
Yes, thank you.
Curly parsley.
Curly is what I was looking for. That was the word I was looking for. And then there's this flat leaf parsley. So to redeem myself,
what'd you do?
I whipped up a nice chimichurri.
That's
right.
Good.
Paired perfectly with a slow roasted John salmon.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a mistake worth making then, really. Yeah.
Chimichurri is one of the best sauces out there.
For sure.
Very, very nice.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a great sauce.
Are you chimichurri?
Because
you're saucy. Call me chimichurri. Because I'm saucy.
Oh, that's better.
And it's your face.
Call me Sweet Baby Ray because I'm saucy.
I got the sauce boss. Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. Print it. Hey, Mantra, we're printing that shirt. Let's go. All right.
Listen, we ask our significant others to help us out with these questions every week.
Yeah.
I think Nora would have came up with that pretty quick because you're not a big cooker. If you made a chimichurri, I think that would be a pretty notable event in your household.
No, see, what I had to do here was to pull the old Tasmellus and just lie. I didn't make a chimichurri.
It felt like a lie. Very nice.
I couldn't think of an answer. I had to make up one like you do half the time. I hate that.
Hey, man. You know how I feel answering these dumb questions forever. You just cooked up a real nice chimichurri right there.
I'm the sauce boss.
That was tasty. Lee, what's your answer?
This was a while ago. I think it was pre-pandemic. Anyway, I had the day off, and the boys had the day off from school. It was a teacher's day or something. And I said, all right, boys, we're going to, like, catch air or, you know, one of those indoor playgrounds. It was a Monday. And they're, like, excited. And I turned up there, and I did the Clark Griswold. I parked sort of towards the end of the parking lot. It was surprising there was no one there, but I was like, okay, it doesn't matter, but I'll be first out. You know, smart move. Turn up. Doors are locked.
Mm-hmm.
Things closed on a Monday. I even did the old, like, come on, you're open, it's 10 o'clock. Lights are off. I don't know why it was even closed.
Right.
Boys were excited. They're like, Dad, we wanted to go. And I'm like, ah, man, what do I do now? There's a cafe, actually, in Grant Park called Rhea's Bluebird Cafe here in Atlanta.
Best pancakes in the world.
You know it. All right, boys, we're going to Rhea's. Great. I went from being the dunce of the dads to the top of the dads.
So they were okay with just eating, because they were just eating.
Yeah, they were like, all right, great, we get pancakes out of this. And I'm like, okay, perfect. So, yeah, great redemption, great swerve there.
Great story.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, how did you redeem yourself, Trace?
First starters dunk contest.
Mm.
I was bad. I was straight up bad. Went for the laughs. Lee went for the dunks. Turned out it was a dunk contest, so I spent an entire year training. And it totally paid off with a victory in years 2 and 3. Still hoping for a showdown with my man Skeets, though.
Ooh. You want a rematch?
Nah.
No.
Nah, I'm out of dunks, man.
Same here, man.
4 times?
Yeah, you've done a lot.
Yeah.
You've done a lot.
That was a long time ago. People have forgotten.
Just do the same dunks?
Yeah.
Just like, perfect them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do my ones from the first dunk contest, see if they're better now, like 2021.
Yeah. That's good, yeah.
Next question. Rockets player development coach Gerald Green is unretiring in hopes of eventually returning to the NBA. The 36-year-old will start his comeback in the G League, according to The Athletic's Shams Charania. What's something you gave up and then had to restart from square one when you got back into it? Skeets.
Breaking Bad, the television show. I remember we were late to the game, me and Nora, and then we started it. We watched a couple episodes, and we're just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We weren't hooked. And then we gave up on it again. And then, like, a year or two later, it turned into one of those shows, like, people saying, what? You're not watching Breaking Bad? You gotta be watching Breaking Bad. Like, get so good, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we then eventually restarted it, started over at square one. And, of course, it is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic show. And then it was great, because then we could, like, power through a million episodes and then caught up by the end and watch the finale at your house.
Yes, after I didn't watch any episode.
I was not
in the room.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
You went and took a shower.
Yeah, I needed to take a shower. Yeah. So it worked out perfectly for me. I took a long shower, I guess. did you change your mentality when you went into it the second time?
I don't know.
What was different about it?
You know, sometimes you watch some of these shows and, like, your mind frame's not in your headspace is not there.
Yeah.
You're like, locked in your phone or you're distracted. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. If it doesn't catch you there, then you're really screwed and you give up on it. But I'm glad we went back. It's good.
Lee, something you restarted.
So when I got serious with my wife, Roxana, back in 2006, I retired from video games. I said, that's it. No more video games. I'm off the video game wagon.
I'm a man now.
Here we are, though. Fast forward for 15 or 16 years, and Santa Claus dropped a Nintendo Switch in the house.
Oh, God.
With the boys, a couple of games. There's Mario, of course, there. Pac-Man made it. Minecraft. And FIFA 22 came on there. So Christmas Day, FIFA 20. The boys are playing, you know, their games, and I'm like, oh, we got FIFA. So Mum was like, I'll buy something for Dad here. Do you know, I felt like about 1,000 years old on Christmas Day, because when we got the Atari 2600 back in 1986, you plug it in, you put a game, you put Space Invaders on, and bang, you're away.
Of course.
The FIFA these days, the league, the teams, the uniforms, the formation, the commentary, the wet. I'm just like, isn't there a button that's just like, boom, just play.
Play.
Yeah. And you've got to set it up. You've got to sign into
update
every...
usually. Didn't you have to, like, download
Yeah, exactly. We had to update. I was like, I just opened it. What am I updating here? But you have to sign up for everything. So my boys have got cousins in Australia, that, and you can play with each other over.
Well aware.
I sort of knew that, but I wasn't sure until it happened. I'm on the phone to my brother, like, what's his login? What's my login? His is like poopfart 66. I'm not serious. And he said, yeah, but it's poop with three O's, and I'm looking for it, and I'm trying to connect. I couldn't do it, and I'm just like, this is crazy, man. Just give me the Atari back. It was way more fun to play that, but we started to get back into it now, so I'm trying to get my teams going.
Isn't there a quick start for, like, exhibition?
I don't know. I couldn't find it. I was pressing so many buttons, and I'm like, how much more do I have to do before I can just play? You know? Crazy stuff, man.
All right, Trey, what's the time you restarted something from square one?
We sound old a lot. We have never sounded older than that.
Old men yelling at clouds. That's what this segment should be called.
I'm definitely introducing you on Monday, though, as Poop Fart 46. Yeah.
Three O's, please.
Speaking of Nintendo, mine's a Nintendo Entertainment System related. Nothing worse than when you're playing a season of Tecmo Super Bowl to get to week 14, turn it on, and see that your Eagle season has reset to week one. You got to start the whole thing over, because that was like the coolest thing, was when they first came out with games that would actually be able to save your progress.
Yeah, that was big.
Until it would get reset. And then you're like, come on, man! Yeah. I just want my Atari 2600 back.
It used to be so easy.
I still remember when Mum brought it out. It was a massive box. The Nintendo Switch is like, you can put it in your carry-on luggage these days and pack it in there. So,
what was your favorite OG game? Asteroids or whatever?
We had Asteroids, Missile Command. Berserk was actually pretty good. Yeah. Basketball, we had that 4 minutes long. They were just two one-on-one. The box. You know, remember the box?
It was so easy to name video games back then. They're like, first game ever of this sport, basketball. Yeah. They go, ice hockey? Slap it up, boys.
Do you want to start a Twitch account where we play old Atari games?
Yes, sure. You can buy those, can't you?
Of course. Emulators and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe I'm back in. Sure.
All right. Good gamer.
Huge gamer. All right, final question. In what has got to be the strangest halftime act in NBA history? A man squeezed himself through a toilet bowl seat in Portland this week. It happened. Name a time you jammed yourself through a small space. Come on.
This was somehow easier than the first
one. Of course, this is easier.
I mean, through is the interesting part. That's the interesting adjective. But I did do a pick and payoff from a box. So I had to jam myself into a box. Now, I had a little bit of room, but I was still hunched over. I was in a tiny box.
Yeah, that was a TV gear box, right?
Yeah.
You fit in nicely.
And then the other one is, and I've told this story before, I think, which is really weird. We were at a cottage weekend once, like a getaway, like a bunch of friends and stuff like that, and there was a hula hoop. And people were trying to see if you could spin the hula hoop. You know how you can flick a hula hoop and it will, like, spin back on itself, right? And stay upright. If you then, when it was moving, dive through it. And we did, like, 100 attempts, but I nailed
it.
I eventually nailed it.
Yep.
And then I jokingly proposed to Nora right after doing it. With, like, I didn't actually propose, but I used the hula hoop ring. Because she was so impressed by me getting through this hula hoop.
That's when you first became serious?
Yeah.
I will stop playing video games.
But I did it. I can't remember if you were at that.
I was there. Yeah.
Saw me do it.
You got it clean.
It was clean. That was the thing, because it was tough to jump through on the move and not knock
without
it over.
Without touching it. Glad I asked
small
that
space.
Question.
Yep.
Yeah. So mine's a little bit similar. It's not a small space per se, but the story will get there because I was actually going back to Australia for my school reunion, and it was for some reason I couldn't get a flight. And then at the last minute, there was one seat opened up on this Singapore Airlines flight, and I had like 2 hours to get to the airport. It was about an hour from my house. Jumped on the train, zipping down there, grabbed all my stuff, running in the airport, checking in, running through security, and I got to the gate literally like last call, Mr. Right. Ellen. Sprinted onto the plane there, you know. I'm just dripping in sweat. I look gross, and there was one seat. And, you know, they're 3-4-3 alignments on those big jumbos, and the only seat mine was like the window seat about 50 rows down. So I'm walking, everyone's like, We've been waiting for you, asshole. Great to see you. So I come walking down. I see my seat, and there's two other, like, just people sitting in the aisle in the middle. Anyone want the window seat? They're just like, no. They just move their legs as if, like, no, that's yours. So I just had to, like, you know, maneuver my sweaty, gross body.
They wouldn't stand up.
Yeah, that's really mean.
Not really. Anyway, they just didn't. Everyone was pissed off at me because I think they must have been waiting for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down and I was like, 14 hours to Singapore. I'm like, ugh. I know when I dry off. And then you just stink
you're
even
all,
more.
Right.
Yeah. So
get all itchy.
Yeah. It was gross. It was gross. But great airport though. It was worth the wait when I got to Singapore.
Yeah, took a nice dump.
Held it the entire flight just so I could go.
Oh, I had to because I was like, I don't want to now like get up and say.
Yeah. So did you not get up for 14 hours?
I had one pee. I remember I had one pee and that was it. It was pretty good. Pretty good, really.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Forward or backward?
Only forward in aeroplanes.
That'd be tough enough. Yeah. Tough to go backwards in an airplane.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know if that's been done. Trey, a time you jammed yourself in a small space.
This one was tough for me. I don't like being in a small space, but I did remember when I was 17 for a graduation present, I went and followed U2 on tour in Europe. Got off to a great start. But the first night, a bunch of thugs broke into the place that we were staying, and I called my dad. I was super scared, and he said, Trey, get under the bed. So I got under the bed, stayed on the phone with him. I'm terrified. I'm freaking out. Yeah. And he says to me, listen to me carefully. They're gonna take you. And they did.
Yeah.
Eventually, he tracked me down, and it was all good. But that was a very scary time for me. Being under the bed. Whoa. Being taken.
I'm glad it ended up.
It was
ended
fine.
Up, ended
yeah.
up good.
It was all good. Right. Yeah, it was all good.
Oh, rapid fire. Rapid fire. There it is. Hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunks Inc. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks and get yourself some No Dunks gear. Go to NoDunks.com. All right, fun week here at the Classic Factory. Great shift, JD. How you feeling about the entire week with the whole crew here?
It got better as the week went,
right?
I think. But I enjoyed it. It's a little cold in here today, so we got to work on that one.
It is very cold in here right now.
Yeah.
Like at one point, I looked over like three or four of us like huddled like this.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get closer together, guys.
I would love to be in a small space with you guys right now.
We turned the heater off for the for the show
right.
Because it makes a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been going for over an hour and a half now, so I guess, it got cold.
Yeah. We started in the Classic Factory at the worst possible time for Atlanta weather.
I mean,
it's only going to be cold for, like, one more week, and then it will turn
That's
into,
right, yeah. Spring is coming
That's right.
in 1 week here in Atlanta.
There you go. So. There you go. Well, thank you guys for joining us all week long. Make sure you like and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube or the podcast feed and leave those 5-star ratings and review. We will have a few little bonus items for you guys on the YouTube feeds this weekend, so keep an eye for that. That's why you should subscribe. Otherwise, you podcast listeners, you'll hear from us on Monday with NBA weekend winners and losers. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Keeping it simple. You have yourselves a great weekend out there.
Brace the day, people.